You're now listening to The Festival of Football, presented by Billy Harvey and Henry Barrett.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to an extra episode of Festival of Football podcast. Today, me and Billy are going to go in depth and talk about the Euro 2020s, get on the hype train, talk all about the different groups, all the different teams, who we think is going to win each group, who we think is going to get out each group, and then we'll literally go on to who we think is going to be the best player, top goal scorer, and just go into things like that. So firstly, Bill, are you hyped for the Euros, mate?
I am. I'm really looking forward to it because we're working from home, so we get to watch all the games. It's going to be great. Like, literally, I know COVID's had some bad things, but hopefully we still get to work from home after the 21st of June. I mean, I don't mind if Boris says that, you have to work from home for another month. Oh, that's a shame, isn't it? But, I'll be more hyped if we get to watch it all from home, so...
Yeah, I guess that's a good thing. I mean, I don't think he will say that. There's more chance of him saying there'll be another lockdown than working from home on the 21st of June. So we'll see what happens, mate. Looking at the groups and stuff, I mean, before we even get into that, the Euros itself, got postponed for a year. And this one, I can't even get my words out. It's like, so we're during a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
They've changed the format this year. They're going to have big teams sort of playing at home, and you're going to be going to different countries. And I just think, during the pandemic, it's really stupid. They should have done it in one place just because of COVID. Do this next. I know it's an anniversary and all that, but you could have done this format in a few years' time. When the pandemic's over. But, at this moment in time, England's all right for COVID at the minute, so they should have just done the whole tournament here. There's enough stadiums around England to play in. And I think it would have been a lot safer. Whereas at the minute, I know they're still going to countries that are apparently okay. But the problem is that you're still risking, taking COVID to all these different places, players coming from here, there and everywhere. The teams that have to fly around to all these different countries, is it necessarily fair to them? Whereas England get to play all their games at Wembley and don't need to fly and travel to anywhere?
It's not, is it? Let's be honest. And I think during a pandemic, it probably should have been in one place, would have been better for everyone. Because I suppose what UEFA don't want is they don't want fans turning up in the droves. So say, for example, England, if the tournament was in Holland, for argument's sake, there's no way you can't tell me that England fans won't be going. Even if they couldn't get into the stadiums, people would still go, and that's the problem. So I think what they've tried to do,
they are allowed to go though, because when England plays Scotland, I think there's going to be 1,000 odd Scottish fans allowed in the stadium in Wembley.
Yeah, and there's already been talks in the paper, isn't it, that the police presence in London in those days is going to be heavy because they don't want Scottish people coming down for the game. But I'm telling you now, there's going to be there'll be thousands upon thousands of Scotland fans come down for that game.
What they're saying is they're allowed to go into the game. People that have tickets, Scottish fans. Yeah. So if you're going to allow them to come in, even though up until Saturday, they're still not allowed to sleep overnight in each other's houses in Scotland,
mm-hmm.
they're still going to come. If you're allowing them to go to watch football, they're going to say, why can't I go to London if my mate who's got a ticket can go?
They will.
It makes no sense, but I mean, it is what it is. I think it's unfair for the lesser teams,
mm-hmm.
The ones that are not going to be playing at home. And, you look at it, England's got all their games at Wembley, because if we get to the semis and the final, it's in Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
So it's the best chance we have of winning a trophy, in my opinion. Is we have a better chance of winning this than we did of the World Cup when we got to the semis, because we had to play France there. This time we're going to be having our own fans basically there, and we're in our own backyard, so we've got the best chance possible. But I don't agree with because it's the pandemic still, I don't agree with having it in so many different countries, people flying to and from. And then if it weren't a pandemic, I don't agree with the fact that these lesser teams, so-called lesser teams, have to travel on planes and everything to play different games. I don't think it's really fair at all. I think Scotland, they're playing us, and then they're playing, I can't remember where it is, but I think it might be in Belgium or somewhere. I don't know, because they're playing all over the place. It's just ridiculous, really. But let's get into the group. So first, in Group A, we have Italy, Switzerland, Turkey, and Wales. In my opinion, I think that's a very fair, competitive group.
Yeah, and I think for me, Turkey are bringing those World Cup 2002 vibes. They've got a good squad again. They're solid at the back, got some good forward players, got some great in-form players. I think Turkey are the ones to watch in that group. Loads of people have said it, but I think they are. Like I think they'll finish in the top two in that group. They'll go through.
Yeah, I mean, you can't sleep on Switzerland, though.
The Swiss have got a decent team as well. They've got not some bad players, but they're one of those bang average teams, aren't they? They'll probably go through as like the third, like the best four.
Mate, you say, I get that, but you're saying that. But Italy, what Italy turns up? You know, they've not been doing well in these major tournaments for the last couple of times. So, like, it depends on what Italy turns up. I mean,
they're a good form,
and also what Wales turns up. The last European Championship, Wales got to the semis.
No, Wales are going to be the battering rams of the group. Like, they've got no manager. Well, they've got a manager. Giggs has gone, hasn't he? He's not going to be at the Euros because of his court case and stuff. They're not the team they was back then. Like, Bale's not the player he was. Aaron Ramsey's not the player he was.
Wait, they might bring James Collins out of retirement. What do you know about? Ginger Pella.
Says it all, doesn't it? I think they're the whipping boys of the group. They're going to finish rock bottom.
Fair enough. I mean, so you're... I mean, I reckon it'll be Italy and Turkey that go through one and two, and then Switzerland will finish third. Whether or not they will get enough points to get that best third place finish, mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, I'll go with that. What do you reckon?
Same. Yeah, I think it'd be Italy. But I think it'd be Turkey, Italy, and then Switzerland, and then Wales bottom with no points.
Okay, fair enough, mate. Fair enough. That's your opinion. Group B, funnily, for Group B, we have Belgium, mm-hmm. Denmark, Finland and Russia. I mean, if this hasn't got Belgium finishing top of the group 9 points, I don't know what else has. I mean, it's like someone that did the draw was from Belgium, because that's just giving them easy free games there.
Yeah, they're overwhelming favourites in that group, aren't they? They'll win every one of those games. They'll probably win them at a canter as well. They're a solid team. I think the only game that's testing for them is probably Denmark. But I think, again, they'll beat Denmark. But Denmark are not ones to be slept on. They're a silent dark horse in the
Europe. I mean, mate, also, Russia's not a bad side.
No, they're not. They beat Spain in the World Cup. Didn't they get to the quarterfinals? Yeah, they did. They got to the quarterfinals, lost against Croatia, didn't they?
Mate, I remember me and you went to a sports bar to watch that Russia-Spain game.
Oh, I remember, yeah.
Banging. Yeah. We had all the Russian fans sitting around us, and then we had the two Spanish fans sat next to us. Oh, pre-COVID days. It was amazing. And I've never been in a place that had atmosphere like that. It was electric, absolutely electric. Two Englishmen sitting in central London. It was
Canary Wharf. Yeah.
And you've got Russian people everywhere going crazy. And then you had the two Spanish people crying. It was actually quite... Pretty cool, man. It was really cool. But yeah, I mean, this group, Belgium have won the group. That's easily.
Yep.
It's either Denmark or Russia's going to finish second and third. But I don't know. It comes down to that game, I think, Denmark and Russia. So I'll say Belgium, Denmark, Russia finishing third. And then Finland fourth at number four. You going for the same?
Same, yeah. Finland, a bit like Wales, going to be the whipping boys of the group.
Yeah. Group C, now this is a bit of a meh group. We've got Austria, Netherlands, North Macedonia, and the Ukraine.
Do you know, with this one, I think Ukraine will finish top, Netherlands second. Because I watched the Netherlands last night. And they were awful against Scotland. And Scotland are a bang average team. And then Scotland nearly beat them.
Saying that, you keep saying Scotland's a bang average team, but Scotland have something that a lot of teams don't have, and they have heart. When they come on that pitch to play England, they're going to be like Braveheart. That's what they're going to be like. They're going to have Mel Gibson in their changing room. They can take our goals. They can't take our freedom.
Yeah, but Scotland are an average team, and Netherlands struggled last night. Like, Netherlands are an awful team now. Like, they're not the team that they were back in the day, like when they had players like Schneider and Van der Vaart, Seedorf,
Edgar Davids.
Yeah, they had some great players. Now they're an average team. They're going for
I mean, their best players probably are injured with Van Dijk.
Yep.
And you've got De Ligt, who he's still young, isn't he, really?
Mm-hmm.
And he needs someone like Van Dijk around him to give him support. I mean, if your best player at the minute and you're relying on is Memphis Depay, I think you're in trouble, because Depay is not the best for me. He's a good player, but he's not. He's probably just over average. Like, he's not amazingly good. So it's not a straightforward group. You see this group maybe. You know, 10 years ago, you would say, yeah, Netherlands top, like we did with Belgium, really. But yeah. Netherlands could lose to North Macedonia. I mean, I know Macedonia did well to qualify, didn't they? So you never know. They're riding a high.
Yeah.
Austria on their day got some good players.
Yeah.
But
they were all right last night against England as well. I mean,
we talk about the GCSE version of Iron Robin, Yarmolenko.
Yeah.
He turns into a prime Cristiano Ronaldo for Ukraine. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you never know what's going to happen. But, yeah, I see what you said. I still think the Netherlands have enough. So I'm going to say the Netherlands will be first, Austria second, Ukraine third, North Macedonia falling in at fourth place.
Okay, not bad, not bad. I'm going to go for Ukraine. To win the group. They've got some great young players, Ukraine, and they've got Savchenko as their manager. So it's kind of like their talisman, probably Ukraine's best ever player. And he's now their coach. I just know there's something special about it. And I think Netherlands will probably be second, Austria close third. And then, yeah, Macedonia are just going to get battered, aren't they? They've still got Goran Pandev.
Yeah.
About 40 years old. So
He's holding on. Right. Now we get to the main group, mate. We get to the main group. Group D.
Yep.
You got Croatia, mm-hmm. Czech Republic,
yep.
England, and Scotland. I mean, people are sitting here saying, from what I've seen on TV and stuff, it's easy group for England or whatever else. Mate, this is a tough group. I can't say in any of these games we're guaranteed 3 points at all. You might sit there and say, oh, we're going to bat Scotland, because I know you've had that opinion before. The first game against Croatia is a 50-50. Mm-hmm. We beat each other all the time. But if I was to pick one that I'm 100%, well, if I'm more confident on, it's the Croatia game for me. I think that's the game that we're more likely to win out of the other two. Reason being, I've sat and watched Czech Republic, you know, Suchek and Sufal play all season, yep. Being at West Ham. And I know what Suchek can do. So you've got to sit and think, right? He scored 10 goals last season, or this season just gone with West Ham. And England, as you know, are poor at defending. I think Suchek's going to score. And the Czech Republic has not got a bad team. It's not like they're, you know, in the minor leagues of European countries.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Sichal, you know, who's a good defender. Who's the other guy? I can't even think of the other guy. But anyway, at the end of the day, that's not going to be easy. So I personally think we might beat Croatia, but it's a 50-50 game. Mm-hmm. I think we'll draw with Czech Republic. I think it'll be a draw. And then Scotland, it comes down to who wants it more. And as I said to you a minute ago, Scotland's got they've got the fight. And once again, they've not got bad players. You know, they've got obviously they've got Robinson at left back, They've got what's his face up front? Shea Adams. He's not bad on his day.
How is he Scottish?
I don't know.
His grandparents or something. But yeah, they've got some decent players, Scotland, like Robertson, Kieran Tierney, who isn't Scottish.
We're playing Scotland last, aren't we?
Yeah. No. Czech Republic last, I think.
Okay. So I was going to say it depends on how they do. I mean, it makes it worse that we're playing them second, because either way, this is going to be up for that game, man. They don't play England that often. Is it? Have we played them recently, or was the last time that we? Because I mean, yeah. The only game I can remember playing them was when they beat us at freaking Wembley.
Oh, that was years and years. No, we played them in the qualifiers, I think, a few years ago. I think we beat them like 3-0 or 4-0.
Okay.
I mean, they're not the same team they were then, but they, like you said, they've got decent players like John McGinn at Aston Villa.
Tierney, Robinson. Goalkeeper's not half bad for how old he is as well.
Yeah, but we should be turning them over. Like, there's just no doubt.
Don't get me wrong. If everything goes to plan, would you be sitting in the group 9 points? If you're looking at it from an outside point of view, you say, okay, England 9 points. But being English and knowing how it works with being English and being an England fan, you know that the Czech Republic game's got draw written over it.
Yeah,
we'll probably lose to Croatia and probably just scrape a win against Scotland and then probably scrape through third in the group or something like that. That's what England probably will do. Based off of that, based off of everything, I'm gonna go Croatia top of the group, England second, Czech Republic third.
Okay, it's not bad. I'm going to be confident. We're going to win the group. I don't think we'll win every game. I think we'll get 7 points. So with two wins and a draw, I think Croatia will finish second, and then I'm going to go for Scotland third, because I think they're better than the Czech Republic. Czech Republic got a few good players, but
you slag Scotland off so much, and now you're going to back them to finish third.
Yeah, no, I think they've got a win in them. I think if they win their first game, which I think is Czech Republic, then their spirits is going to be up. So
yeah,
it all depends how they do in the first game. I mean, they could go out and they could win. From what I saw last night, they gave the Netherlands a lot of problems.
This is what I'm saying. Right? Scotland's not a bad team. I think if they lose to England, I think they'd be disheartened.
Could be, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, you know what? I'm actually going to change my mind, because it was something I was thinking anyway, and I just went with like the safe bet. But I'm gonna have England finishing top, Czech Republic finishing second, Scotland finishing third, and Croatia finishing bottom of the group, because I think they'll just have a mare. I've got a really strong feeling that Croatia is gonna be falling short, because you know Modric is really old now.
Mm-hmm.
They can't rely on him like they did. I mean, they've not really got a really good striker anymore. What is it, like Kramaric or whatever his name is?
Oh, Kramaric. Yeah, he's all right. He's not great.
He's not that. I can see Scotland beating them. And I'm telling you now, if Souček turns up in these Euros, mate, the Czech Republic are going to surprise a few people, because they've not got a bad team. I don't know so much about the goalkeeper situation, but I'm sure I've come across a wonder kid on Football Manager from Czech Republic.
There's a fair few. Depends. I haven't seen their squad, who they've picked, but they'll be a decent side. And again, they could be one of the ones that finishes third and goes through. So you never know.
That's it as well, isn't it? I mean, a lot of the so-called big teams, they've picked weird squads.
Mm-hmm.
Weird squads. I mean, you look at Spain, for example, they're in the next group. They've only picked 23 people when they had 26, or was it 24? And they left Ramos out, but they've got two more spaces they could have picked from. Like, what is that manager thinking? Even if you don't want Ramos in your thing, you've still got two picks, though.
I think he's actually smart, because, hear me out, because he's not picking any older players. So Spain's dream team from years ago is now gone. So the golden generation is over for Spain. And they're doing what Germany did all those years ago when they picked a very inexperienced team for one of the Euros to give those players experience going into the World Cup. And then Germany went and won that, what, the next World Cup. So it was like, I can see what he's thinking there, Luis Enrique. He's thinking, look, we've got all these good young Spanish players who haven't had much international experience. We'll blood them in this tournament. We do however we do. We might get to a quarterfinal. That's good enough for them. But I think the biggest thing, the biggest win for Spain is getting Laporte.
I think that's just ridiculous. But then again, mate, Man City's not, they've been picking John Stones in front of Laporte. So for me, Pep doesn't do things unless there's a reason normally. And I know he overhauled the Champions League final and that was just ridiculous. But other than them blips that he has himself, he's normally right with his players. And yeah, for me, that was a weird one, you know, like that he's not playing Laporte all season. And now Spain have took him because France didn't want him. It's weird, mate. I think he's a quality defender. But, you know, it is what it is. But you gave your predictions for the England group, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll move on now to Group E, which is Poland, Slovakia, Spain, and Sweden. Now, it's not that straightforward. I mean, Zlatan's in Sweden's squad, isn't he?
I think so. I think he got recalled, or he might be injured. I don't know. Again, I haven't seen their squad, but even if he's in their squad, Sweden are...
I'll have a look at it now, because that will change my...
change your opinion.
Yes.
Sweden are poor. Like, we absolutely battered them in the World Cup quarterfinal. They're just one of those teams that are there for the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, he reckons that he was going to be in it, didn't he?
Yeah. He's like,
Zlatan will be in it. No, he's not.
No, he's injured. I'm sure he's injured.
No, Zlatan's not in the group. Yeah, but, mate, they have got some good players still, though, looking at this. They've got the Real Sociedad striker, Alexander
Isaac, yeah.
He's a good player, man. Sebastian Larsson. Sheesh.
That's my point.
That takes me back.
How is he still playing? Like, come on.
Yeah, mate, he's playing for a Swedish team now, though.
Yeah, but he must be about 47.
Lindelof.
Again, that's my point. They got
Hollander from Rangers.
Again.
Pontus Janssen from Brentford. Good sign, a good player.
At championship level.
I think it'd be all right in Prem. Just before we move on, I just want to check Czech Republic's Czech Republic squad for the Euros, because I'm sure they've got a better team than what you're making out for them to be.
I don't think they're great. I mean, they did beat us in the qualifying.
Mate, they've got Kalas, who used to be at Chelsea.
Yeah. Nothing special.
Suchet, Vladimir Derrida.
He's got to be about 38.
Alex Kyle, the one that West Ham won. I get to see what he looks like. The thing, Patrick Sieck.
Oh, Patrick Schick. He's all right.
That's the one. Vidra, he's a good striker as well.
Can't even get in the team for Burnley.
Now, mate, shut up. You know what you're on about. You don't know football. Why would you even do a football podcast?
They're not a great team, but again, they might just have great team spirit, and you never know, do you?
That's exactly it, and that's what I think with Czech Republic. They have got that, but they've got a lot of team spirit. But moving on to the next group, you know, as I said, it's Poland, Slovakia, Spain, and Sweden. I mean, I think Spain are going to have a mare. To not take any experience like he has, hardly any experience whatsoever, it's a big no-no for me. I'm going to say Poland, Spain, Sweden, Slovakia, because Slovakia are nowhere what they used to be.
No.
Is Slovakia the one that Hamšík plays for?
Yes.
Yeah, because I always get the Slovenia and Slovakia mixed up, man. No Same. Offense to him. That's from them places. But yeah, Hamšík's their best player, and he's not got it anymore, is he? So, yeah, Lewandowski is going to smash it. So I would say Poland, Spain, Sweden, Slovakia. If Sweden had Zlatan in the team, I would have said Sweden above Spain. But because he's not there, I'll put Spain second.
That's fair enough. That's exactly what I would go for. I think Spain will still go through, but I don't think they'll go far in the tournament.
No, I don't think so either, mate, to be honest. Group F, the group of death. Oh, it rhymed. So you got France, you got Germany, you got Hungary, and you got Portugal.
Jesus.
That's a tough group.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look, straight away, you've got to take out the weakest team, Hungary, but they've got some decent players. You know, I'm never going to be able to say the kid's name, but he just moved to Leipzig in January.
Schlabelai.
I think that's who it is. But he's a decent player, but he's not going to be able to do it on his own. And I think they're going to be the whipping boys of the group.
Oh, 100%.
I think France have just got too much to even be dragged into a debate. So I think France are going to nail this group. They're going to probably beat Hungary and Portugal, maybe draw with Germany. So I'm going to say France top, Germany second, Portugal third. I like Portugal more. Some of their players, you know, Jota, Fernandes, Ronaldo, obviously. Then you've got João Felix.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got all these talent, but Germany are just Germany. They always turn up in tournaments, don't they? Apart from once that I've seen in my lifetime, they didn't, but... Yeah, so I'm going to say France, Germany, Portugal. But Portugal would be one of them teams that get in through the third place, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, France definitely win that group. But I think Portugal above Germany. I think the Germans, they made the mistake of saying that love's going after the tournament, no matter what happens. So why would you do that going into a tournament? Doesn't make any sense. I can see them having a complete nightmare like they did in the World Cup. I can see them having a complete and utter nightmare, and just they'll finish third. They'll scrape through as like a third best qualifier because they'll beat Hungary. But yeah, I think Portugal and France, that's the game that will decide the group, because Portugal got some great players. Like you said, they've got Bruno Fernandes, Felix. Mm. Their defense is solid as well. They've got Nuno Mendes at left back. He's going to be one to watch in the tournament. Young, promising young left back. They've got quality throughout the team. Bernardo Silva, William Carvalho, they've got some.
For me, Portugal and France are the two favourites for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, with Portugal, what's their centre backs like though?
They're good.
I know Mendes at left back is decent, mm-hmm. but what about the centre backs?
Ruben Dias at City.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about Dias. Yeah, he's all right.
You've got Cancelo playing right back. I don't know who their other centre-back will be. I think it might be Pepe, but he's like 37. If not...
He's a weak link, isn't he? They've got to get someone else in there because he's got a hot head and he'll likely get him in trouble. You know, listening to what you said, yeah, you're right. I probably will change that Germany and Portugal around. It's just because Germany normally just always turn up in the groups, mate. Always. Yep. But I think whoever finishes third out of them teams will get through anyway. I'm not... even for remotely 1 second, going to doubt that they'll get through. So that's everyone we've said. All the teams. So based off of that, who do you think, what's your final four? So the semis and final.
I don't know how the draw will work, but I think if I had to
pick... Just based off of who you think, like, of all the teams that are in it, what do you think your final four will be? And what do you think the final will be? And who do you think will ultimately win it?
I'm not sure on how the draw will work, but I think France are definitely going to be in that four. I think there's going to be a surprise in the four as well. So I think someone like Turkey will get into the semis, just because probably the way the draw might work for them, or the Italians maybe. And I don't think we'll be anywhere near it. I don't think England will get to a semi-final again. Yeah, maybe one of the other teams from the group of death, maybe Portugal. So like Portugal, France, Turkey, someone else. Belgium, if the draw can work out that way as well.
Yeah. It obviously does come down to the draw, but I'm just saying, based off of like the teams that you know that are in it, who do you think will basically be around the semis and finals? Obviously, Portugal and Belgium play each other. That changes everything, but... Mm-hmm. It's just basically just like what you think at the minute. I mean, me personally, it's definitely France, definitely Portugal, it's definitely Belgium, who I would say are the more or less like the favourites, you know? So, like, they're the three teams that I think will be there or thereabouts unless they play each other.
Yeah.
If they don't play each other, they'll be in the final three. And I do think England's got a good chance of getting... to the semi-finals to be the fourth, because I'd say England for me are the fourth favourites. I think we've got a better team than Spain. I think we've got a better team than Italy. But I do like the sounds of Turkey. I know there's a lot of hype about them at the minute, but semis, I don't think so. So I'm going to say the four that I'll say is England, Belgium, France and Portugal. And then I'll say out of them four, it's hard, man. It's either Portugal or France, and I can't call it.
It's a tough one, isn't it? It's so tough. But I think on paper, France are the favourite, the overwhelming favourite as well. But they've had breakdowns at competitions before. I remember the World Cup in 2002.
Yeah.
They had won 98. They won Euro 2000. They were going into World Cup 2002 with a very, very strong team. And they got battered in the first game by Senegal, and you were like, and then they fell apart.
Are Portugal the champs at the minute of this court, of Euros?
Yeah.
So I think Portugal could win it, but based off of that, I don't think they're going to win it back to back. So I'll say France will win it. But don't sleep on Portugal. That's what I'll say.
Joe, my dark horses.
Turkey?
No, not Turkey. Italy.
Italy, no. Okay, you brought up the dark horse. If I'm going to bring up a dark horse, left field, Ukraine.
Yeah, that's a decent shout. They've got some great young players. And they gave Spain a great game in the qualifiers. It was World Cup qualifiers or Europe or Nations League. Or something. I can't remember what it was, but they gave them.
Yeah, they beat Spain as well, I think.
Yeah, they did. I know Spain beat them 7-1 once. Last year or year before, but that's because they had to get their goalkeeper or coach to play in goal because they had COVID problems. But yeah, Ukraine's is a good shout. I mean, they're a decent team, got some good young players. You never know.
Goalkeeper coaching goal, that's crazy. But yeah, they're dark horse for me. But yeah, to be fair, I think it's France's tournament to lose.
Yeah,
Portugal close second. Belgium. Third for me, if you're doing it on like a gold, silver, bronze merit thing.
Yeah.
That's the way I'd look at it. Let's move into, we kind of just said dark horse. Surprise package of the tournament. I mean, I would say Ukraine. Who are you saying?
Turkey.
Fair enough. What about player of the tournament?
Ooh.
I mean, for me, straight off the bat, you've got to mention Kante, who I believe is the best player in the world at the minute, hands down. You've got Ronaldo, you've got Messi, you've got all these attacking players, and these central defenders or central defensive midfielders, they never get a look in because they do the other side of the game. For me, Kante is hands down the best player in the world. He breaks up the play so brilliantly, and he reads the game so brilliantly. And like, you watched him against Real Madrid, every time he won the ball on the edge of the box, Chelsea scored or had an attack. You look at the Champions League final, did the same thing.
Yeah.
For me, I think Kante is going to be player of the tournament, hands down. What about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking Kante, but I'll go for someone else. I think player of the tournament, they'll probably give it to a striker, because it'll be someone who scores the whoever wins the golden boot. Which
it's basically like just who would you think would be playing a tournament? Yeah, not who you might think.
I think it'll be Mbappe, because he's going to score so many goals in this tournament.
Fair enough. Both picking a French player, though. That's interesting.
Yep.
What about top goal scorer? Are you going to say Mbappe, then?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's going to just run riot. Because he'll probably score 4 against Hungary. I mean, if he doesn't, that'd be disappointing. So,
yeah, that's a good shout. I mean, I can't look too much past Harry Kane, to be fair, because he takes penalties and does get a lot of goals. You know, he won the World Cup one through mostly penalties. So, for me, it's either Harry Kane or Lewandowski. But I'm going to go Harry Kane just because... When England score 9 times out of 10, it's Harry Kane that gets the goal. And if he's got Grealish, Foden and Sancho behind him, which I don't even think he will have because of the way that Southgate's going to play, but if he's got them three behind him, they don't often score goals. They set up goals, and I think Kane will be the recipient of that. So, yeah, I'm going to say Harry Kane, top goal scorer.
Fair enough.
So, that's... us all talking about the Euros and all the different things we would and wouldn't do. England, for me, is either going to go one or two ways. We're going to have a great tournament, or we're just going to lose every game in the group and go out. Because he's living and dying by his sword, and he's put his sword in for right backs. You know, he's for me... You know, Trent getting injured last night could be a blessing in disguise for him.
Yeah.
I don't know how bad the injury is, and I don't know if he's going to have to stay out. I think it was ridiculous, the fact that he played Harry Kane yesterday. I'd be wrapping Harry Kane up in fucking bubble wrap and keeping him in. I wouldn't even let him leave the hotel in case he catches COVID or something. Like,
yeah.
I'm not risking Harry Kane for anything, mate. He is what we're relying on at the minute. And you're telling me, you know, you're playing him for as long as he did against Austria in a friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you saw your lover Trent, because he obviously loves Trent.
Yeah.
Because why would he pick him? I mean, you've got Reece James, who arguably is the best right back in England at the minute after his performance in the Champions League final.
Yeah.
For me, if you pick anyone above Reece James, it is a joke. It just proves that you're picking names because of where they're from as well, what clubs they're from. I wasn't like Reece James has to start kind of thing. But after I watched him in that Champions League final and towards the end of the season, I was watching him closely. Mate, he's nailed that right back spot down. And if they don't give it to him, it's a farce, absolute farce. And picking 4 right backs is an absolute farce as well. What did you think about that?
It's a joke, isn't it? Like, some of the selection process that he's gone through is he's taken Maguire injured, Henderson injured, Trent now injured. So he should make 3 replacements. Henderson, Trent, and Maguire shouldn't be in the squad if they're not fit. We've been through it so many times all those years ago.
But Bill, do you know what? Henderson he's not injured, but he's not fully fit. And I get why he took Henderson, because of the leadership. Like, around the dressing room. So he might not play, like, 90 minutes, but he's going to be around. Maguire is not going to be fit. He even said himself he will not be fit for the first game. So why are you taking someone that's not going to be fully fit? You don't take Maguire and Henderson for the leadership thing. You've got your captain who's Kane. Yeah, you've got Rice who's not bad. He's West Ham captain. You've got Henderson who... he's not going to be able to play 90 minutes, but can play and will be the leadership. So you don't need Maguire as well, just to sit on the bench injured. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense whatsoever.
The thing is, he wants leadership in the dressing room. He can address that with his coaching stuff. So why not add John Terry, Rio Ferdinand, like Roy Keane?
You couldn't do that because Rio Ferdinand and John Terry don't speak to each other.
So, no, but just as an example, like, you could add one of those into the dressing room as part of your coaching staff if you need.
Mate, if that was me, I'd have been on the phone and I would have said, Steve and Gerrard, Frank Lampard, John Terry. Basically, you're not going to be doing anything during the Euros. Can you come in as like temporary coaches or whatever else, come in and just be around the dressing room. Give your experiences of what you went through, how you come over this situation and whatever else. John Terry's good to have because he's in that role now for Villa anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Gerrard will be on a high from winning the Scottish League and doing whatever else. And then it also gives Lampard something like to get over that Chelsea downfall. So you've got, you're kind of, because I think personally, Lampard and Gerrard are also potentially future England managers. I can see Gerrard more than Lampard, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. It's, that's what I think we should be doing, because we've got a young squad. That attack, mate, that attack, even though it's young, is probably the best generation of attackers we've had for a long time.
Yep.
And if we don't attack, if he plays five at the back with Henderson, Rice, or Rice and Phillips, that means we can only then play three players up front. And that's going to be Kane, Sterling, and Sancho. So then Grealish, Foden, they don't get in the team. How can you not play them? Even Mason Mount has to play.
Yep.
So for me, if you're going to play five at the back, you only play Rice in holding, and then you play Grealish, Foden, and Mount, and then Kane up front. Sterling don't get in the team. Sancho, debatable whether he can get in the team or not. Maybe you could swap him out for one of the others that I said. Mm. But you cannot be leaving Grealish and Foden out.
No.
If you, definitely Foden has to be in this team. He has to be. And if he doesn't, mate, I tell you now, we're going nowhere. Because we've got five at the back, but we've got no good defenders. He's put Cody in.
The problem is that I don't think we have enough defenders to play the five. So let's say that those three players, I know they're going to go, but let's just say they're injured, they can't go. So he has to pick new players. He can't pick Ben Godfrey after last night. And I said it on the podcast when we spoke about Ben Godfrey. He's awful. And he was awful. He nearly scored an own goal with his first touch. Missed a key header against the better team. That's a goal. That back pass could have gone in. So we could have easily lost the game when we were in full control. So he can't go. And then you've got Ben White. Doesn't have enough experience. Good player, but doesn't have enough experience.
And then that's why he needs to go get experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, who else is there? That's the thing. If he's playing five at the back, he's got to have three centre backs. So he'll have, ideally, he probably wants Maguire, Stones, and Walker. That's probably his three centre backs with one of the other guys playing.
I believe if he's going to play three at the back with the two wingers up and down, Mings has to play on the left side.
Last night.
I know he was, but mate, he has to play because he's got a left foot and he has to go into the left back position when we're going forward. So he has to be there. And you can't put Stones there because he's not a left back. He ain't got a left foot. So then he's going to make us unbalanced. So I think personally, this team he's going to start with, begrudgingly, is going to be Pickford, who shouldn't be anywhere near the fucking team. Then it's going to be Mings, Stones, Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's going to be Trent if he's fit, which it shouldn't be. It should be James. But it'll be Trent if he's fit and Trippier. I don't even think he'll play Shaw or Chilwell.
He's got to play Chilwell. His performance in the Champions League finals.
I don't think he will. He loves Trippier. Why did he take Trippier to that press conference?
Yeah.
Because he wanted to make a point of, oh, well, Kieran's not giving all the credit that he gets for winning the Spanish League. Kieran this and Kieran that. He loves him, mate. He played him at left back yesterday. He's going to be in a team, I'm telling you now. Midfield will be Rice and Phillips.
Yeah.
And then it will be Kane up front with Sterling and Sancho. That is the team he will play against Croatia, and we'll probably lose. Because if that's the team he plays, we will definitely lose.
100%. You're right. Yeah. And the thing is, he's got an issue is that he likes his like five at the back, 5-3-2, which is fine. It's fine. But the problem we've got is we don't have great centre backs. That's why he has to play three of them, because in a two, we haven't got two solid. Like, it's not the days of Campbell and Ferdinand. Like, we don't have that quality of centre back anymore.
Mate, but they weren't even that good either, to be honest.
No, Sol Campbell was rubbish, but Rio was decent.
Rio and Terry couldn't get along, and that was the problem. But yeah, I don't know. I just think it's an accident waiting to happen. Walker's basically playing as a centre back. He's not going as a right back, so that's why he's took three others. And I'm telling you now, if he don't play Trippier at left wing back, I'll be extremely surprised. Because he did that in the World Cup, mate. He did that in the World Cup.
Yep.
Trippier was playing there in the World Cup. So it is what it is. But yeah, well, that's us. That's us talking about the Euros. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Whatever opinions you've got, let us know. Give us comments on the YouTube page. We'll get back to you on that when I upload the videos on there. But yeah, it's been great talking about the Euros. And I look to see if any of our darks, horses, surprises come out with anything, because I think Turkey and Ukraine have got a good chance, mate, especially the groups that they're in.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah, we'll see. Only time will tell, and it's next Friday, isn't it? So a day and 8 days away from the first game, which is Turkey Italy, 8 o'clock. So I'll definitely be watching that one.
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching the World Cup in 2002. I used to eat porridge and stuff while it was on in TV. It was just insane. It used to be on at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
I know, yeah, before school. And I still remember now, school giving us time off to watch Brazil, England, and Ronaldinho chipped David Seaman. I just remember crying indoors. And there was a few of us watching it. And then we had to go to school after that. And then just everyone was dejected. And you're like,
I'll tell you this now, like, I've never been one of them fans that gets like that. But like, I've known people that literally cry and everything with England. If it's West Ham, I can be a bit more emotional. But with England, I've never really been that emotional about the game. England's just, to me, been more of like a corporate company kind of thing. Like they're not a football team. Fair and up. It's just, like, I went to an England game once. I watched England and Belarus. England won 4-0. And it was more like a corporate event than going to a football game. I used to go to Upton Park. I had season tickets. The atmosphere was electric. The game was amazing. You was on the edge of your seat. At England, the best thing that happened in that England game, 4-0, yeah? You know what the best thing was? I bought them mixed, like, little round ring donuts. Yep. And I'm sitting there eating, and the woman next to me took a donut out of my thing without even talking to me.
Oh, my God.
That was the most interesting thing that happened. And she went, oh, I'm sorry, I had to. They just looked so nice and I couldn't resist. And I was like, excuse me?
Yeah, at least they won't be doing that in a COVID world, eh?
No, well.
You'd hope not.
To the woman that stole my donut without asking, fuck you.
You owe me a donut.
But no, to be fair, I think it's going to be an interesting tournament, interesting times ahead. And as you said, time will tell.
Yep.
But thank you for watching and listening again, guys. And we appreciate everything you're doing, the support and everything. Basically, it's just overwhelming at times. And yeah, make sure you check us out on the socials. And don't forget, if you like what you're hearing, share it about. Give it to your friends. Say, oh, listen to these two idiots talking about football. There's one guy in there called Billy. He doesn't know anything. One guy. You all know it.
Just wings it every week.
Yeah, copy and paste this bit in every week. No, but honestly, guys, until next time, it's a goodbye from Billy, it's a goodbye from me, and I don't think it is, but is it coming home?
Let's hope so.
We'll see you on the next one.
See you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Festival of Football podcast, presented by Henry Barrett and Billy Harvey. We'll see you on the next one.